A 14-year-old Iowa boy was laid to rest this week after family members say he was bullied online and at school. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Kiefer. This tragedy comes just as a new film called Bully opens in Des Moines. The documentary tells the story of several children across the country who were bullied, including Alex, a boy at a middle school in Sioux City.
I feel kind of nervous going to school because I like learning, but I have trouble with making friends.
This hour, we'll talk with the film's producer, Cynthia Lowen, with a 17-year-old woman, also the victim of bullying, who launched the petition campaign to change the film's rating, with Allison Benson of the Sioux City Community School District, and Ryan Romerman of the Iowa Pride Network. Bullying and what can be done to prevent it, after this news. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. A 14-year-old Iowa boy was laid to rest this week after family members say he was bullied for weeks online and at school after revealing to family and to fellow students that he was gay, a tragedy that comes just as a new film called Bully opens in Des Moines. The documentary tells the story of several children across the country who were bullied, including Alex, a boy at a middle school in Sioux City. In just a minute, we'll talk with the film's producer, Cynthia Lowen. But first, Katie Butler is a 17-year-old student from Michigan who also endured brutal bullying when she was in middle school. Recently, she launched an online petition to change the film's rating. She felt the original R rating it was given would prevent the target audience, bully and bully victims, from seeing the film. I spoke with her yesterday. Katie Butler, welcome to River to River.
Thank you.
This film, Bully, really resonated with you because you yourself were bullied in middle school. Can you tell us about that?
When I was in middle school in seventh grade, I came out as a lesbian, and a lot of people really didn't like that. So they called me names. They shoved me to lockers. One day I ended up having my finger broken by a couple of guys.
What was the reaction of the school administration?
Well, I mean, they really didn't know what was going on.
You didn't go to your teachers or a counselor telling them what was going on?
No, I didn't, because I thought it would get worse, because the teachers don't have the tools to deal with things like that.
You had to move from that school, I understand.
I did. I left after my eighth grade year. My parents saw how miserable I was and how horrible I felt every day, and they were like, okay, we have to get her out of here. She's changing schools.
Had you come out to your parents at about that time?
I didn't, not until after I switched schools.
Okay, so while you were being bullied, when they knew you were miserable, they did not know the reason you were being bullied, did they?
No, I didn't share anything with them.
What was that experience like, sharing that with your parents? How did they react?
Well, I mean, my parents, they've been great. They were wonderful. I mean, my mom obviously is incredible. She's been everywhere with me, and she's been really, really supportive from day one.
This film, Bully, is out in some distribution, limited distribution across the country. What was your reaction when you first saw the film?
Well, when I first saw it, I mean, obviously, it was really emotional. It's an emotional film, which is wonderful because it's so emotional, it has such a strong message. But, I mean, I cried, and I knew that everyone had to see that movie.
When you heard that Bully, this documentary about bullying, had earned an R rating from the Motion Picture Association of America, and an R rating prohibits anyone younger than 17 from seeing the film without a parent or guardian, what was your reaction?
Well, I mean, I just thought it was really a counterproductive thing to do. I mean, this film has such a great message for students everywhere, and by rating it R, I mean, obviously it makes it really hard for them to see it, so of course something had to be done to change that.
What about the film did you see earned it an R rating?
Well, technically it was the language in the film that earned the movie an R rating, but I mean, rating this movie R for language because it's so real, it's like rating these kids' lives R for language. I mean, Alex, who is 15 right now, can't go see his own life in a movie theater. I think, I mean, that just seemed ridiculous. I mean, and that's what he experienced every single day.
So what did you do? What was the step you took to raise awareness about this?
I started a petition on change.org to change the rating to PG-13, and it ended up getting over 500,000 signatures.
Did you anticipate anything like that when you started? You went to change.org, and how did it start out in the beginning?
Well, I mean, I was like, all right, well, something has to be done. Someone has to change this. Hopefully I'll have 100 or 500 people behind me, and maybe they'll pay attention. I mean, I had no idea that I was going to get over 500,000 signatures. That's crazy. It's amazing.
Was there a day you realized this is taking off like a rocket?
Well, when I got to about 150,000 signatures, I got a phone call from the Weinstein Company, and they were like, oh my goodness, what are you doing? This is crazy. This is amazing. Like, we need to be in contact with you. Like, we want to know what's going on. Like, that's, how did you do that?
What did they end up doing?
Well, I got to meet Harvey Weinstein and a lot of the people who work at the Weinstein Company, which was incredible. And they all told me how proud of me they were and how excited they were and how glad they were that I did this.
A lot of celebrities jumped on board as well as awareness about this rose. Tell us about that.
I've had celebrities like Demi Lovato and Justin Bieber. Those celebrities have been great, people like that, because they're hitting that middle school, preteen age group that might not see the movie otherwise. And then we have people like Meryl Streep, Johnny Depp, and of course Ellen. Ellen is a huge supporter, which that's incredible for me, because I mean, I love Ellen.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes.
At what point did you see movement? Did the Motion Picture Association of America react to this online petition?
Well, when I had 150,000 signatures, they put out a statement saying that they weren't going to change. And at that point, I decided I was going to go to L.A. and deliver the over 200,000 signatures that I had at that point to the MPAA. I went to their office in L.A., and we had boxes and boxes and boxes of pieces of paper with signatures on them that we printed out. We handed over these boxes of signatures, and we sat down and had a 15-20-minute meeting with them about what needed to happen.
And at that point, were they ready to do something?
They really weren't. At that point, they were not responsive. I did not think the meeting went well. It, of course, didn't go in the direction I had hoped, and they really didn't want to change anything. They were very stubborn.
How did they react to the argument, or what argument did you use that you felt was your strongest argument to them?
We talked about how kids go through this every day. Kids see it, kids hear it, kids use this language on a day-to-day basis. I mean, it's nothing new to them, and they really just wanted to talk about how they needed to be consistent in their rating system, which obviously we know in the past they haven't been.
Okay, so we're talking about an R rating caused by some four-letter words used that we can't use on the radio, right?
Yes.
Okay, in normal conversation among teens in this documentary. So you went out to L.A., didn't think it went well. What happened after that?
After that, I mean, obviously I was not ready to give up. Of course, I still thought that kids needed to see this movie. So I kept collecting signatures. And at that point, Ellen was really, really behind me, and her show aired. And we went from 300,000 to 400,000 almost overnight. So we just started racking up signatures.
If you've just joined us, my guest is Katie Butler. She's a 17-year-old student from Michigan, also the victim of bullying in middle school, but started an online petition to change the rating of a new movie, a documentary called Bully, initially given an R rating, and telling us the story of how she helped get that rating change. So the pressure's turned up. Ellen DeGeneres has it on her program. Overnight, you say, another 100,000 come on to this petition. What next?
Well, obviously, we had support of hundreds of thousands of more people, which was really encouraging. And I kept talking to press and kept talking to media and getting the message out there. I mean, finally, the MPAA was like, all right, well, I mean, I guess there's so many people who want this. Obviously, we have to do something to make sure that they can see it.
Mm-hmm. So what was the compromise, the remedy that was found?
Well, thankfully, the really controversial scene in the movie where Alex is on the bus getting beaten up, that is exactly the same. The language is there, which I think is obviously the most important. And then there's a scene right before Alex gets on the bus where there are a few F-bombs dropped. If you're not paying attention, you really couldn't even tell that they were there. But those were removed, and the movie now has a PG-13 rating.
Do you think this whole experience of fighting with the MPAA over the rating has so raised awareness about this film that it will get wider distribution in the U.S.?
Absolutely. I mean, that is obviously a huge bonus. There's been a lot of press and a lot of media that's gone into this. So obviously there are more people who will get to see it, and because we've had celebrities like Demi Lovato and Justin Bieber who are reaching that middle school age, who their fans are those middle school students, I think they'll be more likely to see it when they might not have been mm-hmm. before.
What is the change in mindset you hope that this film and your backing of this film will bring about? Why is it so important?
I mean, I think this film is important because I think when kids see this movie, kids who are bullied get to see this movie, they'll realize that they're not alone. I mean, there's a part in the movie where it says over 13 million kids will be bullied every year. And, I mean, that's a lot. When you realize you're just one of them, I mean, just think about what all of those 13 million kids could do together.
Mm-hmm.
And then also when a bully sees this movie, I think they'll be able to receive the message on how bullying really, really does hurt people and can really affect people without having a teacher yell at them or a parent yell at them or have them punished or blamed. Because, I mean, no one likes to be blamed. When you're blamed for something, you're just going to defend yourself. And I think if a bully sees this movie, they can think about it on their own time and in their own space.
Remind us how people listening can make a difference.
Yes, I started my petition on change.org, and if there's anything you want to change, anything at all, I mean, go to change.org and start your own petition. It's really great. It's a wonderful public platform that anyone can use.
Katie Butler, thank you for taking the time to speak with us. It's been a pleasure hearing your story, and we wish you continued luck in changing the world.
Thank you so much.
That a conversation with 17-year-old Katie Butler from Michigan yesterday. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, and this hour we're talking about bullying and a new film called Bully, which is opening in Des Moines. The documentary tells the story of several children across the country who were bullied, including Alex, a boy at a middle school in Sioux City. Yesterday, I also spoke with the film's producer, Cynthia Lowen. Cynthia, start out by please telling us, What story did you set out to tell with this film?
You know, I think that one of the things we really wanted to do with this film was to show what a school year looks like when you are someone who's bullied. You know, I think that the school year can feel like an eternity, and I think that that is especially true for kids who are bullied. I think we really wanted to get inside what is this experience of being bullied, and to do it in such a way that you couldn't look the other way. You couldn't gloss it over. You couldn't just say it's just kids being kids. And we wanted to depict bullying for the real brutality that it can be in a very honest way, in a way that would really represent what millions of kids are going through in this country.
Everyone who has seen Bully says it's an emotional film. I wonder what was the hardest part for you as someone who witnessed what was happening to these young people firsthand as a documentary filmmaker?
You know, you get very, very close with all the families. I think that every single family in the film really was part of this process, was one of our partners in the film. And so, you know, I think it's very hard, some of the experiences of the kids and the experiences of parents who've lost their children to suicide, they're heartbreaking. They're horrific, horrific experiences. And I think that while it was very hard to be in those moments with the kids or be in those experiences, I think that we all really felt like we were in this together.
One of the half dozen bully stories you tell in this film takes place in Sioux City. 12-year-old Alex, a seventh grader in Sioux City. How did you come to choose Sioux City and Alex?
We were very, very fortunate to get access to the Sioux City Community School District from the school board and the superintendent. We presented the idea of the film, and that we wanted to really be in the school year and really look at what a school year is like through the lens of bullying. And they agreed. You know, they had been doing bullying prevention work in some of their schools for a decade. Schools like Alex's were in their first year of bullying prevention work. And I think that they really approached this with a lot of courage and with a really open mind. And they've absolutely stood by this film as it's come out. You know, and we saw Alex sitting outside looking pretty ostracized after his seventh grade orientation. The school year hadn't even begun yet. And we started talking to him, and, you know, over the course of talking to him, you know, very shortly, we found out that he'd been bullied for years.
The school, as you mentioned, gave you unlimited access for a full year in Sioux City. You were able in that year to capture some horrible footage of this seventh grader, Alex, a 12-year-old, being beaten, bullied on a school bus in particular. Were you surprised to be able to catch that on film? Or is this a documentary where you make cameras a part of these students' lives, they more or less forget you?
Absolutely. You know, we were very much, we were there all the time. And I think that maybe we were interesting for like 2 or 3 days. And then, you know, the things that are going on between middle and high school students and the sort of drama of middle and high school, you know, becomes much more interesting than two people walking around with a camera. You know, the other thing was that, you know, we were a tiny, tiny team. It was just Lee and I the vast majority of the time. And we were using a camera that looks like a skills camera. So I think often the kids didn't necessarily know that we were shooting video. They didn't know that we were picking up audio. And so that, I think, also led to a lot of the sort of intimacy that you see with the people in the film. But also I think that kind of let kids put their guard down in a way on the bus. I also think they didn't see us as figures of authority. I don't think they thought, because there had never been consequences for them bullying Alex on the bus, I don't think they thought that there would be now.
What has been the reaction of those involved in Alex's story, the other kids, some of them portrayed in this film in a very unflattering way?
Yeah, you know, it's actually amazing because some of the kids whose parents, you know, as well, made incredibly courageous decisions, who gave us permission to include their kids in the film. You know, the kids who are bullying, who are doing the worst bullying, their mothers saw the footage of them bullying Alex before they signed the release forms. And they committed to having their children be in the film because they saw it as an opportunity. I think they saw it as an opportunity for their kids to see themselves in a way that I don't think anyone wants to see themselves, and hopefully out of that experience to be accountable for their behavior and hopefully to change in the future. You know, and within that, we did screen the film in Sioux City in October, and for 1,600 people, it was a great screening. Everyone from the community came out. It was awesome. And on YouTube afterwards, under the trailer for the film that's on YouTube, a kid wrote in saying, you know, Alex, you're my best bud. I bullied you, and I'm sorry.
Sioux City has an anti-bullying programs, as do many other schools around the country. Yet there are still stories like Alex's out there. In fact, just last weekend, Northwest Iowa experienced a tragedy as a 14-year-old took his own life after allegedly being the victim of bullying. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's still reason for hope there, though, you see.
In Sioux City, you know, absolutely. They
well, I guess in changing not just the consciousness in Sioux City, but across the country.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're seeing it happening. You know, I think that 10 years ago, that boy may have taken his own life and it would have been swept under the carpet and, you know, no one would have known about it. I think while these tragedies are still happening and one child taking their own life because they're being bullied is too much, you know, it should not be happening. It is an awful, awful tragedy. But I also think that there is a huge and quickly growing awareness that bullying must be stopped because these are the stakes. It is not just kids being kids. It is not just, man up or names. It's just name calling. I think we really are starting to understand the impact of this behavior. And I think that, you know, hopefully schools and what we're hoping schools will take away from this film and communities will take away from this film is here's an opportunity to have a conversation about bullying in our community. Let's talk about what we saw in this film. Let's talk about what's going on in our schools and among our family members and in our community and not wait for that kind of tragedy to occur, because it's very hard when something like that has happened in a community for a community to come to this issue and to own their mistakes, to come to it without feeling defensive, without feeling scared. And I think that in a lot of ways, you know, that's the worst kind of attitude to try and fix something, because it's very scary and traumatizing for a community who experiences that kind of tragedy. So what we're really hoping is that this film can be an opportunity for schools across the country to say, you know what? We have these things going on in our schools. We all know this. And to say it isn't happening is not going to make it better. So let's be honest here and own this and make a difference and see what we can do.
Cynthia Lowen is the producer and writer of the new film Bully. Cynthia, who do you most want to see this film, and what do you want those people to think as they leave the theater, go back to their homes, their schools, their school buses?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think kids, middle school kids, high school kids, I think, you know, those kids are at ground zero. Kids see bullying taking place. They see it when there aren't adults around. I think that they have a huge potential to be empowered to intervene when they see bullying. I think that, you know, one of our biggest hopes for the film is also the simplest, which is that people will see this film and say, you know what, the next time I see someone being, you know, having their lunch tossed on them in the lunchroom or, you know, being spit on or you know, whatever it is, being called a name, I'm going to do something. I'm going to either walk that person to the office and help them make a report. I'm going to sit next to them at lunch the next time so that kids can't gang up on them. I'm going to tell the bus driver someone's being bullied on the bus. You know, I think kids have a huge, huge amount of potential to be super proactive about making a difference, and that kind of change can really almost, you know, trickle up to educators. I heard a girl saying, she must have been about 13 years old, leaving one of our screenings in New York. She was saying, I really want my teacher to see this. I want to make sure my teacher comes to see this. And that kind of leadership coming from kids, I think, is amazing and awesome.
Cynthia Lowen, I want to thank you very much for this conversation. We wish you continued good luck with this very important film. You're the writer and producer of Bully. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Ben.
Coming up, Allison Benson of the Sioux City Community School District with her thoughts on the film. Also, Ryan Romerman, executive director of the Iowa Pride Network. I'm Ben Kiefer, and this is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. A 14-year-old Iowa boy was laid to rest this week after family members say he was bullied online and at school. This comes as a new film titled Bully opens in Des Moines. So this hour, we've been talking about bullying and what can be done to stop it. The documentary film Bully tells the story of six kids in different parts of the country, all the victims of bullying. One of the stories told is that of Alex, who was bullied at his middle school in Sioux City. Joining me now is Allison Benson, Director of Communications for the Sioux City School District. Hi, Allison.
Thank you very much for having me.
Allison, earlier we spoke with the producer of the film, Cynthia Lowen, and I understand they worked on this project in Sioux City for about a year.
Yes, we gave them unlimited access to our, we had them film at a high school, a middle school, and an elementary school.
What was the reaction when filmmakers approached the Sioux City School District initially with this idea?
How this all came to be was that the Sioux City Community School District has been in a partnership with the Waite Institute for Violence Prevention for the last 10 years. It's called the Sioux City Project. And during those 10 years, we have been implementing anti-bullying and harassment curriculum and programs into our schools. Lee and Cynthia had heard about the Waite Institute through Drs. Ruth and Gary Namey through the Workplace Bully Institute in Washington. They recommended them to call Waite Institute because we had worked with the Namys on implementing the first ever anti-bullying workplace policy for the school district. So they were contacted through the Waite then, and then Waite introduced them to Sioux City.
Mm-hmm.
And originally how it was scheduled to happen was that they would film the positive things that Sioux City was doing to prevent bullying and harassment within the schools, because we were at the time of filming, and we still are pretty progressive in where we are today with our curriculum and our policies.
You said originally the positive aspects, but this film, the what stands out here in all the six stories that are told is really how horrible bullying can be.
Unfortunately, it is. We were very sad that one of our students ended up becoming a central character, because you don't want to see bullying anywhere, but we know that we're not immune to it, even though
right.
I think it just highlights we've been at this for over 10 years now, and we have really progressive curriculum and policies and programs, but yet we still struggle with this daily.
You were at the screening last year?
I was at the Sioux City screening.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the movie about four times now.
What was the reaction when you first saw the film?
I saw an unedited version a couple of years now, and I was shocked. As a parent, I was heartbroken. I cried. It is a roller coaster of emotions that you go through. As a parent, you don't want to see any child go through that. Mm-hmm. And as a school district employee, it breaks your heart that it happened in your school.
In the final edit that is being released across the country and also in Des Moines, what would you say is the scene that stands out in your mind from Sioux City?
I think I was most shocked for Sioux City was when Alex was waiting for the bus stop, and just to hear, the children knew that there was a camera there, and just to hear some of their language, I guess that shocked me the most.
Cynthia Lowen, the producer of the film, described how they made this. So they were in the school many days with a very small camera, and after a number of days with the children, they more or less forget that there's filmmakers there, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And we also gave them unlimited access to our administration so that they could see what the administrators go through on a daily basis trying to stop this. It's unfortunate, though, that we have seen that some of our employees have turned into a villain in this film.
Mm.
And it just, I think, perpetuates the culture of bullying, because it's, you can see the struggles that they're dealing with.
For example, who might be seen as a villain here?
I think the East Middle School
mm-hmm.
has come out as a villain, and I think that's unfortunate because it doesn't show everything. Of course, it's an edited film, and it doesn't show everything that happened.
Right.
And Lee has even said in different interviews that there were days where, you know, Alex was having great days on the bus, and it just, but they were telling a story, and so they had to use that footage, you know, to propel that story. None of the positive things from one of our high schools made it in, because it just didn't go in with, you know, how he was portraying the movie.
Mm-hmm. As I understand it, the producer and director, after shooting this and having an idea of the film, they had to get releases from, of course, all the children featured in this, including the ones doing the bullying. That must have been tough.
They would send me clips of the faces of the students, and then I would work with the schools to try to identify those students, and then they went to those students' homes and asked the families. They showed them the clip. And I think the parents were flabbergasted that their children were saying this, and it was an eye-opener for parents to show them that schools need help. This is not a school issue. It has to be a community issue because parents have to be involved with their children so they can help the schools curtail this.
Can be seen as quite courageous for parents to let their own children be seen in such an unflattering light.
You know, and that's with the school district as well. We knew going into this that there might be things that would portray us in a less than negative, you know, positive image. But we still believe that there has to be a national dialogue about bullying.
Right.
And we were willing to actually put ourselves out there and to give the film producers that access to show that, you know, it is a struggle and everyone has to step in to eliminate the culture of bullying.
Right. And it's not, no one, I can't believe anyone is making the case that Sioux City is unique here. Bullying has existed for decades, back when we were kids, in every school district in the country.
Every school district faces this, and the culture of today just perpetuates the problem.
So tell me more, Allison, about how you have gone about facing bullying, trying to prevent bullying in the Sioux City Community School District.
We have been, for the last 10 years, implementing different programs. We have a Mentors in Violence Prevention at our high schools, where the students are trained to step in with their peers and to interact to prevent violent situations, bullying situations. We have another program called Coaching Boys into Men to help those students, athletes that, you know, are aggressive on the field, that you can't have that aggression in your relationships. We also have implemented Second Step curriculum, K-8, which is an anti-bullying curriculum. Since the filming, it became quite obvious that we needed to install high audio and video cameras in our buses, which we have done so all of our buses are outfitted with those. We now also have staff members that review buses every day,
mm-hmm.
the footage, and then we have taken steps then to add aids into buses that might need more adult supervision. We've also partnered with local community partners. We do a card that's sent home fourth and fifth graders with daily, weekly messages. We also invited, in the film you see Kirk Smalley and his family struggling through the suicide of their son, Ty. They created a Stand for the Silence movement. At the beginning of the school year, we were so fortunate that the Smalleys came to Sioux City and they spoke to all of our middle and high school students. And we have since created Stand for the Silence chapters at our schools. We are also doing in-depth training this coming fall for all of our administrators on how to do intake of students that have done bullying and harassment and how to work with them even more in-depth than what we have done.
Wow. It sounds like a tremendous palette of measures you've been taking to attack this culture. And that's really what it's about. You mentioned the videos, audio surveillance on the buses. But at that level, and I know that that's a great measure to have, but if you only have that, you might just drive it underground and not change the culture, right?
It has to really come from the students as well. That's why I think the Smalley presentation was so powerful, because quite often they don't understand the power of their words and the power of their actions. And so our job as educators is to teach them that. And so we're working within the students to teach them the power of what they say and the power of what they do, and also how to interact with peers when they're in that situation, how they can make a difference. And I can tell you, when the Smalleys presented, you could hear a pin drop. It was the most moving presentation, and I think our students greatly benefited from it.
A tragedy just this week, I'm sure you're aware of, a 14-year-old Iowa boy laid to rest this week after family members say he was bullied online and at school. Is something like this in the news, a tragedy like this, something that the Sioux City Community School District would take advantage of to talk about in the classroom?
I know of one teacher that, in fact, we do. I mean, we had a fifth grade teacher that I just happened to speak to that talked about rumors and what rumors could do, and she had the newspaper, and she could talk about how this poor child, what rumors did to him. And it also highlights the growing frustration and the growing problems that school districts are faced with is cyberbullying. It's so easy for a child to go online and create an anonymous account and then bully someone. And it's very hard to go back and trace who that child is. And a lot of this happens on the weekends and after school. So so the schools struggle to try to, you know, curtail that, and that's really where we need parents to step in and monitor their child's online accounts, take their cell phones, read their text messages, know what your child is doing online, because you might be surprised.
Allison Benson, Director of Communications for the Sioux City Community School District, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
This is River to River. I'm Ben Kiefer, and today we're talking about bullying, how to prevent it this hour, as a new film called Bully opens in Des Moines. Also, tragically, as a 14-year-old Iowa boy was laid to rest this week, Kenneth Weishoon of the community of Primgar in northwest Iowa. The boy's suicide comes after family members say he was bullied for weeks online and at school, bullied after he revealed to family and fellow students that he was gay. Joining me for the final minutes of our program today, Ryan Romerman. He is the executive director of the Iowa Pride Network. It's a statewide nonprofit organization that works directly with students to help them create gay-straight alliances in high schools, also in colleges throughout the state. Ryan, welcome back to our program.
Thank you.
Before we talk a little bit, I wanted to start off with some audio from a video posted on YouTube a few days ago. This is a video, part of it, the first part of it, posted by Kenneth Weishoon's sister.
Hi, I am Kayla Weishoon, and I am Kenneth Weishoon's older sister. I am here today to tell the story of my brother, I guess. He had come out like a month ago or a month and a half ago in March that he was gay. Well, he was loved by everyone. I mean, he was popular, he had a lot of friends. Well, a lot of people turned on him once they found out that he was gay. So, like, he was bullied at school a lot, and the school didn't really do as much as they could have about it. It also came home with him, like, they started cyberbullying and making death threats, like, leaving him terrible voicemails telling him they were going to kill him and that God hates gays. Well, Saturday night on April 14th, 2012, my brother had hung himself in our garage.
Kayla Weishoon, the sister of Kenneth Weishoon of Primgar in northwest Iowa. That in a YouTube video. Kayla goes on for several minutes more in that video to talk about her brother and how bullying like this has to stop. Ryan Romerman, your thoughts about this case in particular?
Well, unfortunately, with the work that we do, we know that this is a very serious issue for, in particular, the LGBT community. We know that a lot of our young LGBT young people are often singled out at higher rates of bullying and harassment than their straight peers, which leads to a higher percentage of our young people contemplating suicide.
Mm-hmm. Kayla mentioned there, we know cyberbullying is a big part of this. That seems to be, that's a new thing that's entered the picture. When we can talk about, you know, earlier generations growing up and enduring bullying, I wonder what the face of cyberbullying, how that has changed bullying. And I think because of its potentially anonymous nature, made it more dangerous than face-to-face bullying?
Yeah, I think that sometimes the youth today may not understand that the tools that they now have access to, whether it be Twitter or Facebook, while it makes the comments they make towards someone seemingly less hard for them to say to a person online, it doesn't change the way a student perceives those comments and how it affects how they view themselves in the world. And so I definitely think that a lot of the guests that were on here today really talked about our young people really standing up. And I think that's one of the things that through our work we really try to encourage our young people to do. The bottom line is that there's so many more young people in schools than there are teachers. And we know that the most effective way to stop bullying and harassment is for young people to stand up for their peers.
Mm-hmm. Our schools, Kayla mentioned that the school didn't do anything in this case. That's what she said, but or much. Are, in your opinion, working with schools around the state and colleges, are schools stepping up to the plate better than in previous years to combat this sort of thing?
Well, you know, what we found in our 2009 school climate survey was that not a lot had changed, at least for us, in the sense that we hoped that there had been would have been a lot more change. We did see more students reporting that their teachers were intervening. Unfortunately, one of the things we did measure for the first time was the level of students considering suicide. And what we know is that students that are bullied because of their sexual orientation, if they're cyberbullied, they're 59% more likely to consider suicide. And we also know that a number of our young people have experienced verbal harassment. All that to say that it's still a major, major issue. And when these kinds of things come up, it kind of puts it back on the front burner. Mm-hmm. But when we've been working with schools throughout the state, we've definitely noticed that more schools are wanting to do the right thing, and we're trying to help them do that.
Mm-hmm. What about the people who may be listening, as amazing as it may sound, and say, sticks and stones?
I
grew up with it. Everybody grows up with it. This is the real world.
You know, it's one of those things where it's that exact type of thinking that results in these kinds of cases. And I think that these tragedies make people who believe that this is just sticks and stones, really, it makes them have to take another look and realize that in today's society, again, with the access that young people have in terms of tools to cyberbully other kids, it's no longer just stopping at the schoolhouse gate. I mean, it goes on onto the school bus, and then it goes on when they get online at home. For some young people that are specifically targeted for harassment, it's never ending. And unfortunately, the stuff that our young people know when they go to watch a bully, they'll be able to recognize that immediately because that is their life. And mm-hmm. I think what the movie will hopefully do is encourage, adults and, other young people to talk to each other about what they can do to make things better. Because that's, I think, the point, is that when we hear about tragedies like this and we really get kind of disturbed by not knowing what to do. And there's actually a lot of things that we can do.
Mm-hmm. You're mentioning the film again. If you've just joined us, we're talking about the film Bully, a new film, documentary film, opens in Des Moines. A documentary tells the story of several children across the country, half dozen, I believe, who were bullied, including one named Alex at a middle school in Sioux City. We heard from Cynthia Lowen, the producer, earlier this hour, Ryan. You see this film as a hopeful note, perhaps as a turning point in this country in raising awareness?
I absolutely do. I absolutely do. And I think it's something that's going to resonate with a lot of young people. And I think it's something that we can all learn from.
Mm-hmm. So talk about, in the final minutes that we have here, you say prevention. What is the key to prevention?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, one of the things we mentioned in our school climate survey was the need for our young people to make sure that they take their peers' comments about suicide seriously and to recognize the signs that a friend may be depressed or suicidal. And that includes, anything from, a friend talking about feeling hopeless or helplessness. I know Kenneth had talked to a few people about feeling hopeless or you don't know what it's like to be hated like I am. Increased isolation, loss of interest in usual activities, those are some of the warning signs. But some of the protective factors that we can help with is making sure that the school safety support and connectedness that young people feel are increased, that there are student clubs that make sure that our young people feel like they can get connected to other peers like them to reduce isolation. We need to make sure that they have access to culturally competent care and that people know what it means when a young person is talking about these issues and understand the warning signs.
Mm-hmm.
Positive role models, make sure that also students understand that they can cope with these issues, make sure that they have the problem-solving and conflict resolution skills that they need. And a lot of that can be reinforced in the school environment.
Mm-hmm. What can we as individuals do as older adults, as parents, to prevent bullying, even though we're not in middle school or high school anymore?
Well, some of the stuff that we talk about in regards to community members and parents and guardians to, reduce the amount of bullying, harassment, and suicide is making sure that you're providing a safe and affirming home environment. Again, if your young person is being bullied in school, they need to make sure that when they come home that they have a safe place to land. And making sure that the school understands Iowa's safe school law, that the school is reporting the instance of bullying and harassment annually to the Department of Education. Building a relationship with that young person's school, making sure you know what's going on there. And again, also yourself understanding how to recognize the signs that your young person may be depressed or suicidal, and then understanding how to intervene.
We have just a half a minute or so left. Ryan Romerman, what do you see as the number one thing preventing progress on this issue? I know some progress has been made, further progress. What's preventing it?
I think people not taking bullying and harassment seriously.
Back to the sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Exactly.
Okay. Ryan Roberman, thank you for joining us again. I look forward to talking to you.
Thank you.
Without having a tragedy
yes.
to discuss in the future date.
Thank you very much.
Ryan Roberman, Executive Director of the Iowa Pride Network, the statewide organization, works directly with students to help them create gay-straight alliances at high schools and colleges throughout the state. River to River is produced by Catherine Perkins and Alex Hoyer. Production assistance today from Lindsay Moon and Emily Woodbury. Technical support from Julie Englander. In Des Moines, help from John Pemble. The executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows is Jeff Schmidt. We always welcome your comments and questions. What did you think of today's program? We'd like to hear what you think about this topic, about what we presented this program. You can always get in touch with us through iowapublicradio.org. Iowa Public Radio is also on Facebook and on Twitter. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.